Hey everyone, this is Renee Fry from Talent Q, and you're listening to the Conscious Professional Podcast. I'm sure you're all dying to know what I'm covering today. Today, I'm talking about buffering. I bet a bunch of you have never even heard this phrase before. And even if you haven't, you are in for a real treat. Once you know what this is all about, you'll be able to identify the second you're doing it. All right, let's go. So initially, when I said the word buffering, you may have been thinking about the little circle that spins around on your screen when you're waiting for something to load on your phone or your computer. And this isn't the type of buffering that I'm talking about today. The type of buffering I'm talking about is using external things to change how we feel emotionally. Let me repeat that. Buffering is using external things to change how we feel emotionally. You can think about it as a coping mechanism. It's things we do to avoid living our lives, to suppress our emotions, to delay doing tasks and avoiding confronting consequences. It means engaging in activities that divert our attention away from any negative emotions we might be feeling. And doing this can help us to buffer or ignore and alleviate our negative feelings. So let me give you a few examples of this because there are hundreds. Buffering is scrolling through social media for hours, drinking alcohol, mindless eating, binge watching Netflix, playing video games, spending money, doing retail therapy. Now, all the examples I mentioned aren't all bad if you're looking for some downtime or to relax. It's when you're using these things to avoid your feelings, that's when it becomes a problem. And you might be doing several of these buffering examples all at the same time, like binge watching Netflix while drinking a bottle of wine, while munching on snacks mindlessly. All of a sudden, you've been sitting on the couch, you watch 5 episodes of a new show, downed a bottle of wine, a whole bag of popcorn. What's that doing for you if you're trying to avoid feeling something? Again, if you had your Saturday planned out to do this, no biggie. If you're avoiding emotions, that's another story. Now that you know what buffering is, why do we do it? Ask yourself the question, why do you buffer when you do? Is it because you like the numb feeling you get when you drink a bottle of wine? And from my experience, wine certainly takes the edge off. If I have sore muscles from working out or I'm feeling frazzled emotionally from a crazy day, it will numb the emotions for sure. But after we do it, are the repercussions worth it? Not being able to get a good night's rest or waking up with less energy, having an even bigger to-do list because you avoided doing something else like cleaning up the kitchen or folding laundry or packing the kids' lunches for the next day. We do it to ignore. We do it because we don't want to face the truth of our lives. We want to hide out. We don't want to feel any type of negative emotion. Now, I'll be real with all of you. During COVID, I buffered a lot. I buffered every damn day. I drank wine nearly every day. And I did that because I didn't want to face the music about what was going on. Everything in my life changed overnight, just like it did for all of you. I had to close my office, work from home. The kids were at home too. I was hiding out, stuck at home, and I didn't want to feel my uneasy emotions. So I buffered the feeling of anxiety and angst of the unknown of what was going on in the world. COVID was a doozy for me. I have a wonderful husband and 2 beautiful daughters, but still during lockdown, spending all of my time at home, I felt lonely in my own house. I'm a 1,000,000% extrovert. I get my energy from people. That combined with the unknown of the pandemic, since I've never lived through such thing, it was awful. So I buffered with red wine after work every single day. In our world right now, we're constantly bombarded with suggestions of ways to feel pleasure from media, advertising, social media, and our environment. And we feel entitled to feel happiness and pleasure all the time because we see it everywhere all around us. Every ad or commercial is trying to promote us to take action to go eat something, go buy something, or go do this activity. Next time you watch an ad or you see an ad, think about which of these things it's encouraging you to do. Eat, buy, or do some activity. There is a lot of money made on pleasure. The pleasure of eating, the pleasure of drinking alcohol, the pleasure of spending money. Ads promote products or services or experiences that promise to enhance our enjoyment of life or promise instant gratification. And not to mention how Amazon has fueled that instant gratification by how fast they can ship things. And don't get me wrong, I love Amazon, but this instant gratification concept is stronger than ever before. We all want it and we want it now. These ads create a constant stream of suggestions and messages about how we should seek pleasure. And that is getting programmed into our minds. Online ads are even more targeted on our phones. Have you ever noticed, say you're at a Nordstrom website, you're going to check out a pair of shoes. You're on Nordstrom.com. You decide, nah, I don't need the shoes today. Then you move to a different website. You're now on Disneyland.com. You're going to start planning a family vacation on your phone. And you see a little Nordstrom ad with those darn shoes you were just looking at. You cannot escape the Nordstrom shoes. Everywhere you go, there's that little Nordstrom shoe ad popping up on your screen. Ads have become extremely targeted. They now follow you around, showing it to you over and over again, which is breaking you down until you can't resist it anymore after seeing those shoes 50 times in the day. Then you click on it and you buy the damn shoes. Social media also has become a huge part of this. Heck, there's people who have careers where they're earning a living being influencers. So many everyday people and influencers are sharing their experiences, lifestyles, the products that bring them pleasure all over social media. Of course, seeing all of this influences us. And I know social media oftentimes can give people FOMO, fear of missing out, making us want to have the same experiences as our friends, neighbors, or influencers. And our consumer culture emphasizes that we need to have material possessions as a means to get pleasure and happiness. And this constant exposure to advertisements and the belief that buying a certain product or experience will bring us joy influence our perception of pleasure. They're trying to keep us consumers and keep us spending money. So many companies take advantage of that by not just playing to our natural inclination to seek pleasure, but by compounding it and selling us things that are concentrated pleasure or pleasure in heavy doses. We then get programmed in our minds and decide those things are almost as important as survival because of the dopamine hit we get from pleasure. It's so strong. So the more we buy, the more we buy. The more we eat, the more we eat. The more we drink, the more we drink. And it becomes a perpetual issue in our lives because experiencing pleasure just makes us want to experience more and more and more pleasure. Then we feel entitled to have pleasure all the time, and it's immediately available in so many ways. Now there's so much value to less food, less drinking, less stuff. But when you talk to people about less, all they want is more. Our environment screams more, whether it's more food, more drinks, more possessions, more experiences. The constant focus on more makes it challenging for people to appreciate the value of less. And starting when we're young, we're exposed to messages that make us think abundance and consumption equals success and happiness. These societal norms create a mindset where acquiring more is actually desirable and fulfilling. And as a normal human being, we have a tendency to adapt to new circumstances and experiences, including material possessions and indulgences. This is what's called hedonic adaptation, which means that you get initial pleasure from something new or indulging in excess, the gradual it will fade. I'm sure you've all had this experience. I'll give an example. Think about Jennifer. She just got a significant promotion at work. The promotion gave her a huge salary increase and a more prestigious title. At first, Jennifer is thrilled and she feels a surge of happiness and pride. And the extra income helps Jennifer to afford a nicer house, eat out at fancier restaurants, and buy more luxurious products. However, as the time goes on, Jennifer gradually gets used to the new lifestyle enabled by the higher income, but the initial excitement and happiness start to fade. And the once thrilling experience becomes the new normal. The nicer house, the fancy dinners, the luxury items no longer provide the same level of joy and satisfaction they did when she first got them. This is an example of hedonic adaptation. Despite the positive changes in circumstances where she's earning more money, Jennifer's overall level of happiness tends to revert to a baseline level over time. The initial boost in well-being fades as she becomes accustomed to the new situation, leading to a need for additional positive changes to sustain the same level of happiness. Hence why we want more and more of it, and we try to recreate that initial feeling. As a result, people try to recapture that initial feeling of satisfaction because they don't want it to fade. Like the minute you get back from an amazing vacation, you start planning your next trip because you don't want to feel the low after getting home from traveling. Comparison is huge in shaping what we desire. Seeing other people with more makes us feel envious or thinking we need to keep up with them. The fear of missing out, the FOMO, the need to fit in, also contributes to that constant pursuit of more. Some people turn to external things like food, alcohol, materialistic things to fill emotional voids or to get instant gratification. And this can lead to a cycle where the pursuit of more becomes a coping mechanism for deeper emotional needs. And it's a fact about alcohol. You need more and more to feel the effects because your body adapts to it over time. It takes longer for you to get a buzz of off that drink. So next time you need two before you get the buzz, right? And not everyone is solely driven by wanting more, which is really going against the grain. But I'm sure you've seen recently there's been a growing awareness and appreciation for minimalism, simplicity, and sustainability. People are finding fulfillment in experiences, relationships, personal growth, and contributing to causes greater than themselves. Have you considered the possibility that life could be better if you didn't have all of those false pleasures when you're buffering? Think about that for a second. When are we willing, if ever, to give up a false pleasure? Have you identified something you do that is giving you a false pleasure? You may have just become aware of something you do in your life giving you false pleasure because of this podcast. And if that's the case, bravo to you. That's a huge step, realizing you're buffering. Because even if it's a small thing, I can almost guarantee you've been doing it in some way. What would the world look like if we didn't overeat, didn't overdrink, didn't overspend, didn't overwork, didn't over people please, didn't over social media? What would your world look like if you didn't run after false pleasures and just went to live an honest, authentic life? Are you willing to live without any brain manipulation, without any false pleasures, without any pretend emotions, without stuffing your feelings or ignoring them? What if we could purchase happiness? Most companies will tell you that you can. Do we really feel happier? Or have we tricked our brains into thinking we've experienced something wonderful? And do we want to piece together a bunch of false pleasures and call that happiness because it truly doesn't make you happy? Or do you want to remove all that garbage and find a way to be happy without them? Is it even possible? I guarantee if you've tried to remove the things you've used to buffer in the past, you have likely gone through withdrawal. And you probably felt deprived, left there sitting with all those emotions that you've been unwilling to feel. And life can be a struggle. Why don't we just buffer all the way so we can make it through to the end? Why not eat as much as we want, drink as much as we want, buy everything we want, and go into massive debt? Why not? We could. But what kind of life is that when you have to deal with the consequences? If we could have those pleasures with no consequences, nobody would care. But there are consequences. buffering causes pain. It causes more pain than the initial emotion you were avoiding. Buffers are only a temporary retreat from negative emotions. Those negative emotions always come back harder than they started. And when you go out and you buy yourself a brand new car, one you can't afford, but you have to have it because you got FOMO and all your friends are driving BMWs. So you drive the brand new, you go buy the brand new fancy BMW so you can fit in with all your so-called successful friends. You have that instant rush of pleasure when you buy it. You feel like a badass when you're driving it off the lot. You love the new car smell. Then the following month, guess what comes in the mail? Your car payments due. Then you have to deal with how you're going to afford it. So you're scrambling to make ends meet and you have anxiety and regret from your purchase. When you overeat and you keep doing it, over time, you're going to gain weight. And when you overeat, you're probably not eating healthy food, so you feel sick afterward. You feel lethargic. And what I'm showing you is there's always an equal and opposite consequence that keeps it from being worth it, even though we tell ourselves it is in the moment. On the other side of that, when you strip away all the buffers and strive for well-being, you emerge so much stronger on the other side. When we're in buffering or seeking comfort mode, our capacity to give diminishes. We become entangled in a cycle of take, take, take. I want to eat. I want to drink. I want to buy. Want, want, want. We're caught in a pursuit of false desires that can never be satiated. And if you're trying to run, you're going to always be trying to run. Who really wants to be an escape artist of their life? I'm here to help so you can stop doing this. Face your emotions and live a way more fulfilling life. And learning how to remove buffering in your life is possible. I've done it and recovered from it, and that means all of you can too. Giving up false pleasure will make you more available to experience the real pleasures in life. Constraining your drinking makes you more alert and available. Constraining your spending gives you more money for the things that are really important. Being financially responsible gives us freedom. When you allow yourself to really feel your emotions, you get to know yourself in a much deeper way. And when you get to know yourself in a much deeper way, you start to find the causes of your unhappiness. And then you can start to change them. This is sustainable, unlike the false pleasures you've been using to buffer before. When you limit your drinking, you don't experience hangovers. You don't have to call and apologize to your friends after a drunken night. When you watch your eating, you get all the pleasure of eating wonderful food and not worrying about your weight. These results are real pleasure, and it's ongoing, and it gets better and better and better. Natural pleasures are the kind we're meant to experience in our lives. The pleasure we get, we're meant to get from food. The pleasure of eating a regular meal for fuel. Eating healthy is a constant, steady stream of wellness that you get to experience over and over again. And when you give up your buffers, you can still get upset. I guarantee you'll still get upset, but you'll deal with it differently. So how do we give up our buffers? We have to have the desire to have a true relationship with our life, which means we're willing to experience negative emotions part of the time. If you're willing to do that without running or escaping, you'll remove all the buffers in your life. And at the same time, you're going to remove all the negative consequences that come with them. You will feel so free. So here's what that means for those who overeat as a buffer. You'll accomplish your ideal weight. You'll have the pleasure of being able to put on anything in your closet. It's going to fit and you're going to feel amazing. Your confidence is going to skyrocket and so will your energy, and it'll even heighten your relationships too. If you quit drinking, you'll stop experiencing hangovers and embarrassing drinking moments. You won't ever have to call someone the next day and apologize for your behavior. If you give up the clutter and the overbuying, you'll only buy things that you genuinely love. Instead of having five sets of different martini glasses, you'll just have one set. And it'll be the best martini glasses you have, the only ones you need, and you'll love them instead of having five sets that aren't quite right. It will have a quality and authenticity that will feel different. Giving up false pleasures allows you to enjoy the full pleasure of well-being, which is the best feeling in the world. It's truly a learning process that once you successfully do it, you'll see incredible results in your life, like more time, more productivity, more fulfillment, more happiness. Who doesn't want all those things? Avoiding emotion doesn't make the emotions go away. It just helps us ignore it, avoid it, or not feel it. And we pretend it's there, not there, but it is there, and it's there for a reason. When you stop buffering, you start living the truth of your life. You'll start seeing exactly what's going on in your mind and become more responsible with your emotions and your actions. When you stay conscious, you can evaluate these patterns in a way that motivates positive change. Not to mention how much more fully you're going to understand yourself. You'll know who you truly are. I want to share a breathing technique with all of you called box breathing. It can be very helpful when you feel yourself wanting to buffer. When you have an awareness in your mind that you're about to buffer with someone, you can pause, do some box breathing, and this will often calm you, get you centered, and calm down your emotions so you can think more clearly. So the technique involves equalizing the length of your inhales and exhales with pauses, and it can promote calmness and improve focus. Basically, it's inhaling through your nose for a count of four, holding your breath for the count of four, exhaling out of your mouth for a count of four, holding your breath for a count of four. So practice. I'll talk you through it right now. So I want you to inhale slowly through your nose for a count of one, two, three, four. Hold your breath. One, two, three, four. Exhale slowly out your mouth. One, two, three, four. Hold your breath. One, two, three, four. This can help you when you're about to buffer, and it can help prevent you from going through with it. And you might want to do box breathing several times. None of us are perfect, so we will all buffer again in the future. But when it happens, I have some things you can do right in the moment to reduce the number of times you're buffering in the future. The first step is awareness. You have to become aware that you're buffering in the moment. Once you notice you're buffering, go grab a pen and notebook and your journal, and I want you to start writing down your emotions and think about what's bothering you and what you're trying to avoid. Be real with yourself here. No one's going to read your journal. Then I want you to forgive yourself. Write a sentence forgiving yourself for doing it. Like I would write, I forgive myself for buffering with scrolling on social media today. Then I want you to congratulate yourself for being aware of it. So I would write down, I'm proud I noticed I was buffering. Way to go, Renee. And this may sound cheesy, but I'm telling you it works. Then you'll stop buffering, doing that activity in the moment. Writing down your emotions is probably already going to divert you so fast you're not going to return back to the buffering. You'll go do something else that's more productive. When you stop buffering, you're going to feel pain. This is where most of us will feel the emotions that we are trying to avoid, which is why we were buffering in the first place. Feel that emotion. Write it down on paper how you feel. Just sit in it. There is no emotion that's going to kill you. Keep the phrase, this too shall pass, on the top of your mind, because those emotions will pass. I've been there. My goodness, I used to be the one who would suppress my negative emotions all the time, just avoiding them, ignoring them, stuffing them deeper inside of me all the time. Then one day I had a moment when I was with my coach, and whatever he said struck a chord with me, and I decided to sit in my emotions, and they were painful. And the next thing I knew, tears were streaming down my face uncontrollably. I realized in that moment, I hadn't allowed myself to feel negative emotions for years. I had conditioned myself to avoid them, ignore them, or suppress them. So how much buffering was I doing? It was an incredible release for me in that moment. Then I vowed I would allow myself to feel emotions. And when I did, I was going to grab my journal and write them down. I'm feeling these for a reason, and my emotions aren't permanent. They too will pass. So the key points from today's episode are, giving up a false pleasure will make you more available to the experience the real pleasures in life. Be willing to experience negative emotions part of the time. And when you stop buffering, you'll start living the truth of your life. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. Please share this episode and go make one change to be better than you were yesterday. Live your life with intention. I believe in you. I'm on a mission to help as many people as possible. So if you would, please leave a 5-star review. See you next week. Cheers, everyone.